only an extra pint. If you're sleeping, are the lights? If your bed is wet, I'll dry your tears. I love you. I am the milkman of human kindness. Only an extra pint. Now my anthem, I'm waking up. Now my anthem, I'm waking up. Out my hands. If you feel bitter, understand. I love you. I'm the milkman of human kindness. Only an extra pint. I ought to leave enough for water. Your morning bath, but I've not thought I'd like to hear you talk that way. Can't bring myself to say I'm so weak. Past is always knocking incessant, trying to break through into the present. We have to work to keep it out. I won't be the first to shout it's over. I used to want to plant bombs the last night of the proms. Baby in the bathroom with that big shell, listening for the sound of the sea. I steal a kiss from you in the supermarket. I walk you down the aisle. You fill my basket, and for it all, the stick I take. It's worth it for the love we made. I used to want to plant bombs the last night of proms. Now you'll find me with the baby in the bathroom with that big shell, listening to the sound of the sea. The baby and me. I stay in bed alone, uncertain. When I met you, You drew the curtains, the sun came up, the trees began to sing a light, shining on everything. I love you. The sun came up, the trees began to sing a light, shining on everything. I love you. So we're going to have a fun evening this tonight. I'm going to be playing with my, as you may see, I have a little group with me this evening. We're going to be playing a few songs that I wrote with my new writing partner, Woody Guthrie, and we're going to be playing a few Billy Bragg songs as well. So some of these songs, you won't have heard them live before. But it's not just the Woody and me songs that I haven't played before. I'm going to try a few songs of my own that I haven't played before on today. So you can, maybe you can try and work out which ones it is I'm fumbling through that you may never have heard. And then you can all go home and talk about it on the internet. So Woody Guthrie was this little guy from Okemo, Oklahoma. And if you close your eyes and think about Woody Guthrie, and think about a film that you might see him walking about in the background of, I would imagine most people would say Grapes of Wrath would be that movie. But I'm here to tell you tonight that Woody Guthrie also belongs in the background, walking around on the subway and on the streets, behind Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly in On the Town. Yeah, Woody Guthrie spent half of his life in New York City and wrote many of the songs that we're going to be playing for you here tonight. But he also spent a very special few years between 1937 and 1939 here in Los Angeles, where he was on a radio station at KFED. Rather unfortunate call not signed, but there you go. That's what it was in those days. And it was here in New York, ladies and gentlemen, that he fell in with communists. And who was that communist who warped Woody Guthrie's mind and turned him into a Reg? Shall I tell you who it was? It was Grandpa Walton. It was Will Gear, who later went on to play Old Man Walton. Can you imagine? He was a communist who warped Woody Guthrie's mind. Thank heavens he did. Because before, when he came to Los Angeles, Woody Guthrie was nothing more than a country singer. When he left Los Angeles, he was a left-wing agitator. That's what he did here in Los Angeles. That's what he did. This is just a song he wrote about wanting a shagging good Birdman. It's nothing got to do nothing with. You know all that political stuff of Woody Guthrie. There's no point in me going in the archive and coming out with these Dust Bowl songs. I bet you didn't know Woody Guthrie wanted to make love to Ingrid Bergman, though, did you? You didn't know that, did you? Huh? Ingrid Bergman, she wasn't a communist. She was a virginal Swedish film star who was married to a neurosurgeon. And sometime in the late 40s, she went off to a place called Stromboli in Italy, where there was a volcano exploding. And this may be difficult for you to understand in Hollywood, but in the old days, they never had the special effects to be able to make a volcano explode in a kind of like a manner on TV that people would believe. So instead of wasting money doing that, they waited till some volcano erupted, then they went there and made a film. It's kind of like, it might make it, if you wanted to make a film like Deep Impact, you might have to wait a long time with your camera running for it to actually, that sort of thing to happen. But hey, these were the old days. So she went to Stromboli and she fell in love with the director, Roberto Rossellini, and the result was Isabella Rossellini. How strange, yes. But I want you to close your eyes and just imagine if, in fact, it was Woody Guthrie that she'd run off with. What the result would be. And would David Lynch be interested in it? Ask yourself that. I want you to listen carefully for the old volcano phallus imagery that Woody, well known in American folk and country songs. Hey, I don't write this stuff, I just sing it. Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid Bergman, let's go make a on the island of Stromboli, Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid Bergman, you're so pretty. You'd make any mountain quiver. You'd make fire fly from the crater. Ingrid Bergman, this old mountain, it's been waiting all its life for you to work it. For your hand to touch its hard rock, Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid Bergman. If you walk across my camera, I will flash the world your story. I will pay you more than money, Ingrid Bergman. Not with pennies, dimes, nor quarters, but with happy sons and daughters, and they'll dance around Stromboli. Ingrid Bergman, this old mountain, it's been waiting all its life for you to work it. For your hand to touch its hard rock, Ingrid Bergman.
Yeah. I'm gonna go wash my mouth out. Okay, so how many of you are up at 7 o'clock this morning watching the Mexican channels? Yes! 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 Wasn't that a great match? I mean, I'm a rock star. You know, the whole idea of mourning becoming eclectic is a real problem for me. It's not the eclectic or the becoming that's a problem with that program. I love it dearly. If only it could be kind of like, sort of like lunchtime becomes eclectic or something, it would be great for me. But this morning, I was up and ready for them because at about 7:45 in the 89th minute, I leapt out of fucking bed. Yes! Yes! It was brilliant. I don't know if you saw. For those of you who don't know anything about football, basically there was a football match this morning between Holland and Mexico, which Mexico needed to draw or win to qualify to the next round. Elsewhere, the Belgians were desperately trying to sort of get through and win their match, and they looked like they just might win. And then the plucky South Koreans put one past them, which invigorated the Mexicans considerably for the last 20 minutes, and they got this equaliser in the... There was time after the goal was literally to kick off one kick and the match ended. And I don't know if you saw it on the Mexican channel, but the match ended. The guys celebrated. They went to adverts. They came back. The guy was still going, "Goal!" They went to another programme. They went back to their ordinary programme. They came back. "Goal!" It was a great moment. I figured that the person in the room next to me must either be a soccer fan or having really good sex. And so I thought I could hear was, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." Maybe it was a Dutchman. Well, England, I'm afraid we have Colombia. We have to play Colombia tomorrow at midday. And there's a bit of a problem there. Because one of the things you haven't quite grasped about World Cup soccer is you have to have a record in the charts. That from that team, we have like 4 records in the charts at home that are doing battle to be the official song. And I can imagine a country like America, you could really do great guns there. And my problem, as you probably know already, is that Woody Guthrie wrote the official song for Colombia. You probably heard it, "Roll On Colombia, Roll On." So, you know, we'd sort of, it's a bit of a problem for me. With, you know, I don't want to upset Woody and his publishing and all that, but actually, Woody Guthrie did write a World Cup song. But unfortunately, it was for the 1942 World Cup, which was postponed due to prior engagements. And just as well, that one didn't go to penalties against Germany, is all I can say. I'm going to play this song for you now, and I want to... that he did write in 1942. And I want to dedicate it to our so-called English soccer fans who were... a riot in a rather racist way in Marseille the other week. There's one thing unfortunate, in my country you cannot separate beer from Britannia. If you have too much of one, the other one unfortunately comes on through. So I want to dedicate these songs to those half-wit racists who somehow think that just because we beat a nation at football, that somehow makes us better. What you're supposed to do is what you and the Iranians did, is go and have a beer afterwards and talk about it. That's the way to deal. That's what soccer is for. It's for coming together. So I want to sing this for our own soccer hooligans. It's called All You Fascists Bound to Lose. Gonna tell all you fascists you should realise people all over this world are getting organised. You're bound to lose. You fascists are bound to lose. This hatred cannot stop us. This one thing I know: your poll tax and Jim Crow and greed have got to go. You're bound to lose. Fascists are bound to lose. So all of you fascists about to lose. You fascists about to lose. You fascists about to lose. You're about to lose. You fascists about to lose. People of every color marching side by side, marching across the fields where a million fascists died. You're bound to lose. You fascists are bound to lose. Going into this battle, take my union gun. In this world of slavery, for this war is won. You're bound to lose. About to lose, you fascists about to lose, you fascists about to lose, you're about to lose, you fascists about to lose. Are you fascists about to lose? You fascists about to lose, yes sir, you fascists about to lose, you're about to lose, you fascists about to lose. Happy right that lyric, 1942, and I wrote this lyric in on an ad for a prefab Sprout record, and fortunately I didn't have any paper and it had a lot of space on this ad, so I just kind of wrote the song around the ad on a train, and here to perform it with me for your joy this evening is my keyboard player, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ian McLagan, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, Ian McLagan, it is he. He comes forth, so I'm told. You know, I'm just learning this stuff. Mac knows it by heart, he's just teaching it to me. Do something with it so I know it works. Thank heavens for that, it works. We did have one earlier, but Mac trashed it, didn't he? He's broke it. Oh no, he's broken the organ. You and I are victims of a love that lost a lot in the translation. All the time that I spent sitting on the old bed in anticipation of you giving in and us living in sin. The hot day, the smell of hairspray and the sound of a shower running softly. Seems like this would remind me how I felt the first time you came back for coffee. The way you took it amazed me. Walking in the park, kissing the dark, and my against your pillow. Late at night, a lover sings. That's a man diva finding out all about love. I say, that's a man diva finding out all about love. All about love. There's no real substitute for a ball struck squarely and firmly. You're the kind of girl who wants to open up a bottle of pop too early in the journey. Our love went flat just like that. Doesn't matter the colour of your car, but what goes underneath your bonnet. Say a flag that flies above your heart is my name written upon it. Dedicating to thy queen's love and mine. Walking the dark, kissing on the carpet. Your tights around your ankles. Lie at night, a lover thinks of these things. Adam and Eve are finding out all about love. I say, Adam and Eve are finding out all about love. Adam and Eve. Los Angeles. Are you not going to stand up and sing, eh?
Search frantically for reverse.
declining. That virtue never tested is not virtue at all. So I lost my ignorance. Now the bells across the river chime out your name. I look across to them again. Yes, I played you a picture about the way that I feel. You know my love for you is strong, girl. You know my love for you is real. Oh, your friends say, come down and never fly. And on that imperfect day, through it all away. Crisis after crisis, such intensity. This would never happen if we lived by the sea. Most important decisions in life made between two people in bed. I found that out at my expense. When I see you, you just turn around and walk away like we never met. I wish to be so bright. I dreamt the world stopped turning as we climbed a hill. I dreamt impossible dreams and we were lovers still. Must I paint you a picture about the way that I feel? You know my love for you is strong, girl. Jack, I hope he's in bed rather than in the band. Is he? Wiggy, I should imagine Wiggy's just moved house to Colchester, so I should imagine he's in bed in Colchester. Anybody else lost people they want to?
This is darkness.
top of the stairs is darkness. I close my eyes and when I looked, your name was in the memorial book. What had become of all the things we planned? I accepted the commiserations of all your friends and your relations, but there's some things I still don't understand. You were so tall, how could you? Photographs of a summer's day, a little boy's lifetime away. It's a right left of everything we've done. Like a pale moon in a sunny sky, death gazes down as I pass by to remind me that I'm but my father's son. Tribute I offer up to you this tank box of. He's one of those guys you can't see. He's making himself small while he's playing. As you know, I'd like you to welcome on the rest of my fabulous band, if they're out there blubbing around now. Please, ladies and gentlemen, come forward. Yeah, here they are, all rocking. All American, 100%. We had some tears today in the band when USA lost to Yugoslavia. Nothing to be ashamed of. This is a wonderful time to be here in the United States of America while the rest of you all are on planet football with us. And never ever forget, ladies and gentlemen, that the largest attendance for a sporting match of any sport, any team sport in the United States of America was here in Los Angeles at an LA Galaxy game. 92,000 people this year at a soccer match in the United States of America. You are emerging. Just if you get the baseball players, the basketball players to be a bit shorter, the football players to be a bit more svelte, and the golf players to wake up a bit. Never mind all this X Games shit. Resist. It's just the people who sell roller skates are trying to sell you more shit. Just resist it. It's not a sport. It's a merchandising exercise, okay? Resist. Nobody in the rest of the world jumps out of an aeroplane on a snowboard. We don't fucking want to do it, all right? It's only you nutters. What piss poor excuse. I saw one which was basically laying flat down on a skateboard and going down a hill at 60 miles an hour. Why? I mean, you know. That was my big worry about coming to the United States of America during the World Cup. I mean, I had to come because I'm doing Woody's work, but there's always in the back of your mind that instead of showing the game, you go into the sports bar, you buy your beer, they go live through the national anthems, and they suddenly switch to a sport in which trucks with very big wheels squash little cars whilst people cheer and drink beer.
I'm sure there's a name for it, like squashing little cars and getting drunk or something. Or you suddenly went over to, you know, Olympic origami or one of these spurious sports that seem to get. I think we were bad. We have live sheepdog trials on TV, which I have American friends who've looked and said, this is TV, and I'm like, you know.
Did someone bark then? When I said, was that someone barking then? Did someone go, rawr! Get those sheep out of here! So Woody Guthrie, during the Second World War, he was a merchant seaman. He was torpedoed during D-Day with Cisco Houston. And after the war, he hung out in Coney Island. And one day, one of his old sailor buddies came round to see him and take him out for a beer to give him a bit of a break from minding the kids. He left the kids with Marjorie, little Arlo, and little Nora, and little Jody. And him and his seaman buddy went out to see if they could find some. I said to the audience in England, because I didn't want to say the P word, I said they went out to look for beer and something that begins with P. Exactly, there's someone in the audience shouted exactly that out. Well, pizza! No, pussy, I'm afraid. Pussy. It's an American term, I believe. We don't say that in England.
Bill, I think that's a universal term.
It's a universal term. I'm trying to remember that. Anyway, this is the story of them going out for a beer. And all you have to remember to get this is that when you're desperately trying to search in your mind for the name of the newspaper that Walt Whitman edited, it was the Brooklyn Eagle, okay? The Brooklyn Eagle. That's not the name of a pub in Coney Island. That's the newspaper that Walt Whitman. Oh, we're going to start this one.
Thank you.
So yeah, I forgot to tell you how this shit came about, didn't it? Basically, Woody Guthrie, during his lifetime, wrote thousands and thousands of songs. When he came to New York City in 1940, he recorded a lot of the songs. The ones he'd been playing here on the radio, he recorded them, and that's the body of work that he's justly famous for. But I'm here to tell you that that body of recorded work represents only 5% of the songs Woody Guthrie wrote in his lifetime. And in the archive in New York City, there are another 95% of songs that have never been heard. And the reason they were never heard was because when he was writing them in the late 40s and the early 50s, nobody gave a shit about Woody Guthrie. He didn't have a record deal. He wasn't really doing gigs. He was doing hootenannies. And he was really looking after the kids while his wife Marjorie went out and ran dancing classes to earn him some money. So when Woody died, or when he became ill in the mid-50s and subsequently died in 1967, the music for these songs was lost forever. He never wrote the music down. He was like myself, he's not musically trained. He wrote the lyrics, he wrote at the bottom, words and music by Woody Guthrie, but he kept the tunes in his head. So when he died, the tunes were lost forever. And a few years ago, 1995, his daughter, Nora Guthrie, Arlo's younger sister, approached me and asked me if I'd be interested in taking a look at one or two of these songs with a view to writing some music to go with them. And the result of that is an album called Mermaid Avenue that I've made with my friends Wilco, Natalie Merchant, and Bob Egan here, played slide guitar all over that record. As you can see, he's a slide guitar man. And of all the things that that impressed me about the archive, it wasn't just a variety of songs, but it was the modernity of the songs. And this is a great example. This song is a song in which Woody Guthrie talks about how much he loves his wife, but also talks about the role of women in society. And Woody Guthrie was writing songs about gender politics in 1942. That's why this stuff is so important. This song is called She Came Along to Me. In front of an audience that might have heard the stuff before everybody else, they just think, oh, I'll just keep jamming around that, I'll just keep going on incessantly. So that's nice, to surprise you like that. That was a bit that Woody mailed to me recently, the stick on the end there. He just. Speaking of which, by pure coincidence, Woody's actually on Monday, is going to be on the 32 cents postage stamp, which is really weird. It's like, you know, it's a complete coincidence. Elektra Records organised it. There's also going to be a Natalie Merchant and a Metallica stamp as well that you'll be able to buy. And Old Dirty Bastard, that's the other one, yeah. And, or ODB as they call it. No, Old Dirty Bastard, not you. No, I didn't look at all, I was looking beyond that. So now you may think to yourself, well, how comes this English geezer gets this gig if Woody Guthrie is one of you lot? How come, you know, why does Braggy get in there? Well, one thing is that this is not a job for someone who's, if you see what I mean, has grown up with Woody Guthrie. You need a little bit of distance to get in, because the Woody Guthrie in the archive is a different bloke to the Woody Guthrie that we think we know. So you kind of need to sort of put that away. And the other thing is that Woody Guthrie had his roots very, very deeply in the folk music of America, that folk music that originally came from the British Isles. And this song we're about to play for you now, it sounds just like a sort of American outlaw kind of ballad about a guy who goes out, it's a bit like Pretty Boy Floyd, he goes out with his six guns and sticks up rich people and involves himself in a bit of redistribution, of economic redistribution. So, in that good old kind of outlaw style. But the name of the guy's horse, the whole thing is a monologue to his horse. And, you know, you kind of people who talk to your cars, well, they used to talk to their horses. And at least a horse has ears, think about it. No place for a mobile phone on a horse, is there? And no brakes either, if you've ever ridden a horse. They don't have brakes. And I was scared by a horse when I was very young. So. But in this story, the name of the horse is Black Bess. And Black Bess was the horse of Dick Turpin, who was the person who inspired Adam Ant. So, obviously, whose catchphrase was Stand and Deliver, or was it Ant music for Ant people, Dick Turpin? I can't remember. No, Stand and Deliver. That was Dick Turpin. And so, in this, when he writes this ballad, Woody's not only writing about the Old West, but he's also reaching back to the Highwayman ballads from Britain. In the 18th century. So when I read this kind of stuff, it made me feel that, it reminded me actually, that not only is it obvious to people who immigrated to this country, but also the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant people of this country are also part of the immigrant population. I think sometimes you forget that. To the rich man's bright lodges I ride in this wind, on my good horse I call you, my shiny black bears. From the playhouse of fortune, to take the bright silver, gold you have taken from somebody else. And as we go riding in the damp, foggy midnight, you snort my good pony, and you give me your best.
took food from the widows and orphans, never a bar would be man I oppressed. So take your pace easy, the home soon like lightning, we too will be riding. Rich man's pony can e'er overtake you, and there's not a rider from east to west can hold you alive in this dark mist and midnight, when the pot-bellied thieves chase their unwelcome.
To explain the things that happen in soccer matches. Your terminology and your statistic, your obsession with statistics. There is no red zone. Okay, every time I hear that phrase, I think I must remember to wipe my ass properly. And the other thing I can't be doing with is this strip along the bottom of ESPN2, where they flash up, because what we do is we tape the early games. So we're going to watch the early games later when we're compass mentis, if you know what I mean, okay? So when they flash up the result in the game before, you know, you're just watching CNN, or you're watching an advert, and it comes up and they tell you the stock exchange and then what Morocco have done to Scotland. I don't want to know! I want to watch the match, okay? So if you go into a hotel anywhere in the continental United States and you find a TV with black duct tape across the bottom of it, you'll know! We have been there, trying to watch TV. This is a song, the tune of which was written by Jeff Tweedy, Jay Bennett. The words were written by the little guy. It's called Christ for President. Sort of that kind of like rhythmic kind of music in a Billy Bragg gig. It's hard to know whether to dance or not. You could see me there, I was in two minds, just like you. I was like, Well, I suppose I am trying to move him, but I can't. It's a braggy gig. I can't be dancing. What am I doing? I feel your pain. But rest assured, we did not put disco music upon Woody Guthrie. We have resisted that dreadful 70s kind of vibe that's going down at the moment. I don't blame you at all, Ian. I'm not looking... Now, there are some things that Woody and I have in common. And it's not just the kind of like the crude vocal style and the shit guitar playing. It wouldn't be a Woody Guthrie gig without at least one Union song, and I guess it wouldn't be a Billy Bragg gig either, so... All you people who have relations who work for GM, this one goes out for you. It's a song Woody Guthrie wrote called I Guess I Planted. And in the chorus of this song, he says, Union song, Union battle. It all added up and it won us all that we've got now. Join up with the rest of the crews. It's just a little song, it don't compare with all those big ones you hear everywhere. When it dawns way in the back of your mind, the big ones are made up of a little kind. You can song, you can battle. Separated, hurt apart and afraid, hungry for the union, so we kept on, seeing them working, fighting till we got it. It's the big union song, I guess I hear. Union song. Before we shoot on, the person whose project this whole Mermaid Avenue really is, it's
actually, this project really belongs to Nora Guthrie, Woody's daughter, Arlo's sister. And really, the album should really be called Nora Guthrie Presents Billy Bragg and Wilco. We're just kind of the hired hands. It's her vision. It's her realization that until the 2,500 plus songs, whole songs that remain in the Woody Guthrie archive, until those songs have been appreciated by people, Woody Guthrie has not made his last record. And although the man, the physical man, may be gone, the spirit and the power and the strength that he put into those lyrics is still alive up there in the archive. It's still there to be appreciated. He's not made his last record. This is just the first Woody Guthrie record for 50 years. And when you think about how you first heard Woody Guthrie, I bet you a pound to a pinch of snuff, you never heard Woody Guthrie singing his songs. You heard the Byrds maybe, or Bob Dylan singing them, or maybe even Arlo singing them. This is the traditional way that Woody's music came to the world. Someone else got a hold of it and played it for him. That's the way it happened. The poor guy, at the height of his fame, had this dreadful, dreadful disease that finally killed him after 15 years. And it was left to other people, the Weavers initially, Pete Seeger and those guys. So we're just kind of carrying on in this tradition. I just want you to tell that there's 200 more albums worth of stuff to carry on. If anyone in the room here fancies going over to work with Nora, she's on 57th Street in New York City in the Fisk Building. Make an appointment, go and see her. Now you may ask yourself, what did Woody Guthrie ever do to Billy Bragg that Billy Bragg should do this to his songs? You know why? You know, the little guy, there he is gone, you know, and here I am stomping around there. Well, I have to tell you, when I saw the lyric to this song we're going to play for you now, I saw in the top left-hand corner he'd written the way this... He sometimes would write notation out of not music, but the tempo. And in the top left-hand corner of this next song, he wrote the words, Supersonic Boogie. Now, you may not associate Woody Guthrie with the idea of writing a song that's Supersonic Boogie. And let that just be an idea of how far out of kilter your idea of who Woody Guthrie was and what kind of songs he wrote is. The real Woody Guthrie, Mr. Supersonic Boogie himself, he's still up there if you need to go up there. This song was actually written here in Los Angeles in 1950. And he wrote at the bottom, Mummy, 3,500 miles away from home. This song is called My Flying Saucer. Began to be afraid of flying saucers and being abducted, and you know, it's only Americans they take, don't you? In the rest of our countries, they just make nice shapes in the corn in my country. It's your destiny to be abducted by flying saucers for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe what it is actually, it's not people from the planet Mars. It's people from the planet FIFA, and they're trying to inseminate you with soccer.
Your ball must be round. You'd all grow up with round balls now.
I'm sorry, yes, sir, only half of you. I'm sorry. I do apologise. So, yeah, that's just my flying saucer there. It's just one of a number of songs, like All You Fascists Bound to Lose, that we actually, me and Wilco and Natalie, recorded 40 tracks in the process of making Mermaid Avenue. So there are still 25 of them floating around in the ether. And if you're good and buy enough copies of Mermaid Avenue, we might be able to talk the lecturer into putting the rest of them out, fingers crossed. If not, we'll just carry on playing them and blast them away. And I really appreciate you taking the time and being patient enough whilst I sort of ran through these Woody Guthrie songs with you. I had a great time doing that tonight, and I promise that next time I come back, I'll teach this band to not only play these Woody songs, but a few more songs like this as well. Thanks very much.
May have been Camelot for Jack and Jacqueline, but in the shake of our highway, filling out with gasoline, the obvious Woods brother spies, and which lady is crying over luxury's disappointment. So he walks over and he's trying to sympathise with her, but he thinks that he should warn her that the third world, it's just around the corner. In the former Soviet Union, the citizens demand to know why they're still the target of Strategic Air Command. And they shake their fists in anger and respectfully suggest we take the money from our missiles and spend it on our hospitals instead. Sarah Brown on bass, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah Brown on bass, yeah! In the former cheese pavilion, the only noise I hear is the sound of someone stacking chairs and mopping up spilled beer. And someone asking questions, basking in the light of the 15 frightful seconds of the fanzine writer. Don Harvey on drums, ladies and gentlemen. Don Harvey cracking away there. Mixing pop and politics, he asks me what the use is. I offer him my acupuncturist, some fruit juices, while looking down the corridor out to where my limo is waiting. I'm looking for the new world order. Bob Egan, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Egan on the half bicycle. Jumble sales are organised, all my mates got fat. Even after all this time, you can still send me a fax. You can be active, be activist, or sleeping with the media while you're waiting for great leap forwards. I won't leap forwards to this bad girl, Helmut Kohl, give me the sack, waiting for the great leap forwards. Well, here comes the future, and you can't run from it. You've got a website. We're gonna make it.
Thanks very much. See you again. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got a nice cup of tea. It's a football song. It's kind of a generic football song. We have one in England which goes, here we go, here we go, here we go. It's the only fucking song that we know. If you wonder why I've been playing some of these gentler kind of singer-songwriter Billy Bragg songs tonight, is because on the way in I noticed in the billing that it said under my name, Folk. So it may be something to do with being 40 or maybe my association with Woody Guthrie. I've even appeared in an Americana chart. Is there no Britannia chart for me to be in? Is this really? And the other thing about your United States of America football team is that they don't have a name, do they? Like, all your teams have names. Like, the fabulous Kansas City soccer team, you may not know this, they're called the Kansas City Whiz. And when they attack, the punters in Kansas City chant, go Whiz, go Whiz, go Whiz. They do. You couldn't make it up, could you? Because, I don't know if you noticed, but the US women's soccer team have a great record in the World Cup, and the World Cup is coming in soon. And they, of course, already have a nickname. They're known as the Soccer Mums. And and great they've done too. And more power to them, I think, in the forthcoming World Cup here. So, they're called the San Jose Clash, are they? Where do you get these damn names from? I mean, is there a kind of like they have the NBA pick? And where you have the sort of like the tallest guy gets picked first, and the stupidest name gets picked first, and the kind of, you know, they're incredible. I mean, at least the DC team was smart enough to pick United.
United!
See, that fits. You know, the Tampa Bay are the mutiny, aren't they?
Mutiny!
It's just not quite the same, is it? I've dreaded, you know why there's no baseball team, don't you? English baseball team to come and play over here, because none of us could bear the thought of going out and shouting, come on you teabags, come on, you'd be a great big teabag mascot or walk around the big pull string on his head. When we scored he'd be dunked. That's a fabulous image, isn't it? Sponsored by Lipton's. But of course, being America, it wouldn't be anything you can drink tea. Like, it would be sort of like conifer tea or something like that, or banana tea, or kind of like red Oklahoma dirt tea. Nothing that, like, you might drink sometime with milk and sugar or any shit like that, you know. Think about it. Think about it. Really think about it. Chamomile coffee. How would you fancy if you came to our country? And can we give you chamomile coffee? Those are people who come to my coffee. Well, my country will know there are only two types of coffee in the United Kingdom, tea and coffee. And especially if you Americans, we make a special kind of coffee, it's shit. You've been, haven't you, madam? You know. And how do you think, you know, you've got piss weak coffee here, generally, but how do you think it is when the poor old bastard Italians come to England? What do they drink?
Beer.
Pizza!
Beer!
I sometimes worry about my demographics. Can you see them from there? It's the guitar line. Why don't I just stop fucking around and just... There are people all over America desperately fiddling around with their internet waiting for me to download a song to them. You know that, don't you? Bless them. Bless them. You know, I'm one of the few moments they're not downloading nudie pics. It's what your right hand's for. Did you know that? Click, 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 click. Click on, click, click, over your body. Click, click, click.
You hadn't thought of that, had you? Just as well, it only takes one hand as well, isn't it, really? I mean, look what it did to Bill Gates. How do you think he got like that? That's my theory. How do you think I got like this? I'll never forget the first day I met her. That September morning was clear and fresh. The way she spoke and laughed at my jokes, and the way she rubbed herself against the edge of my desk. She became a magic mystery to me, and we sit together in double history twice a week, and some days we look the same way home. It's surprising how quick a little rain can clear the streets. We dreamed of her and compared our dreams, but that was all that I ever tasted. She lied to me with her body, you see, and I lied to myself about the chances I wasted, the times that we were close, far and few between. Darkness at the dances in the school canteen. Did she close her eyes as I did when we held each other tight? La 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 la. Means I love you. With me and I still hold that memory soft and sweet. Whistle up the window as I walk down her street. But I never made the first team, I just made the first team laugh. And she never came to the phone, she was always in a bath. In the end it took me a dictionary to find out the meaning of unrequited. Well, she was giving herself for free at a party to which I was never invited. I never understood my failings then, and I hide my humble hopes now. Thinking back, folks, she made us wanna. A girl not old enough to shave her head and have a belly button pierced. This right to the end of the whole thing, because I realise that you're having a little religious moment out there with yourselves, aren't you? Me too, me too. I can hear that trumpet solo now as well. Even the people who are downloading this out in Oregon and Boise, Idaho, they can hear the trumpet solo too. It's the wonder of the imagination, boys and girls. Okay, church over, come on, that's a lot. You're big time softies, brothers and sisters. And I am a softie too, never forget that. Never forget that. Sir Ian McLagan, ladies and gentlemen. I have to tell you, I've spent years playing people McLagan's licks from the Faces records and saying, do you think you could kind of play like this? And now he's here, and I play him the same licks, and he's like, I can't. I think that might have been Woody playing. So now imagine how confused it is when we talk about Woody, you know, it's all gets a bit very, very. Everybody likes you, babe, but me. guess that shows how stupid I can be. Daddy thinks it's swell, your mummy's wedding bells. Our friends all say we make a lovely couple, we get on so well. People say that we're a perfect match. They don't realize that there's a catch. They don't to live with you, forgive you for the things you do. There's just no ignoring. You're pretty, but you're boring. Everybody likes you, babe. To me, I don't know how iffy you can be. I'd hate to let you go before I let you know that everybody loves you, babe, but me. That it's a song that is geographically specific. This is a song that Woody Guthrie wrote original lyrics to when he was out here at a KFVD, and a song that I think is I know, you can cough, man, it's okay. I just think it's pertaining, and I couldn't let it the evening pass. The music for this was written by Jeff Tweedy and Jay Bennett from Wilco, and the lyrics were written around 1938, 1939, just up the road here, by Woody Guthrie. And it's about the stars that shine in the California star. We'll be right back.
es mi tierra, esta tierra fue hecha para mí, para ti, para ti. ¡Hey!
With us through the Woody Guthrie stuff. I hope it made some kind of sense. And this is really the first time we've really tried this out. We've been playing this band. We've been playing the FLA festivals. We're kind of like, there's two big festivals going across the United States of America. On one hand, there's the Lilith Festival, which I haven't managed to connect with for obvious reasons. And then on the other side, there's us, what we refer to as the Guinness Festival. And beer, pizza. And that was when Sarah McLachlan knocked me out. What can you say? Sorry. This is the first time we've been sort of like charging on stage, rocking through these Woody Guthrie songs and laying waste to festival audiences in Chicago and New York and London, and we'll be up at San Jose at the weekend. But this is the first time we've had the opportunity, all of us, to play together and to take a bit of time with these songs. And they have been a bit sloppy, I hope you can forgive us, but we've really enjoyed ourselves tonight and we've kind of blooded ourselves in front of you. So thank you very much. We really appreciate you sticking with us. And we'll see you again this year, I hope. And because there's all this kind of great weight of Woody stuff, I kind of stayed away from the classic brag, but I brought out one or two songs that I thought you might appreciate, and I just want to finish off this evening with something rather special and dedicated to you. Thanks very much for a great time. She said it was a figment of speech. And I said, you mean figure? She said, no, figment. Because you could never imagine it happening, but it did. When we first met, I played the shy boy. And when she spoke to me for the first time, my nose began to bleed. She guessed the rest. The next day, we went on a bus ride all the way to the ferry. And when no one came to collect our fares, well, I knew then that this was something really special. A
couldn't stop thinking about her. Every time I switched on the radio, there was someone else singing a song about the two of us. It was a bit like being on a fast ride at the fun fair, you know, the sort that when you're on, it's really scary and you want to get off, but as soon as you're off, you want to get straight back on again. But oh, love is strange, ladies and gentlemen. And I guess you have to learn to take the crunchy with the smooth sometimes. She began going out with Mr. Potato Head. It's when I saw him together in the car park with his coat around her shoulders that I realised. I went home and thought about the two of them together until the bathwater went cold around me. I thought about her eyes and the curve of her breasts and the point where their bodies touched. I confronted her about it. I said, I am the most illegible bachelor in this town. And she said, yeah, that's why I can never understand any of those stupid letters you send me. And then one day it happened. She voted Tory and I stopped loving her. Special treat, Mr. Ian McLagan, ladies and gentlemen. I had a great time. Thanks very much. We'll see you again.